Please welcome back Pablo Bourget for the Q&A. Wrap up.
Thank you very, very much. Thank you very, very much. Thank you very, very much. I could feel you were with me here. I could feel the energy. It was for me.
Ole! I can dance too.
Thank you so much, Pablo. We have some time to talk with him. If there's questions from the audience about the film, about the process, I know this was like an 8-year long labor of love to get this film off the ground. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Okay, where should I start? Okay. My first film was Torremolinos, 73. It was a pretty...
It was a good film.
Thank you. And it was very successful in Spain. It got good box office and it traveled all over the world. It got released all over the place. So I thought, okay, I made a successful film now. I bring out the film that I want to make, a black and white silent film, and all the producers are going to say, okay, yeah, let's do it. And what I found, it was like, my producer from Torremolinos, he said, I love the script. We can make it black and white as you want. You don't have to change nothing, only one thing. Where you see, where in the script appear the intertitles, just let the actors talk like all the movies. So I said, but that's the whole concept. I want to make a black and white silent film with intertitles, where the music takes you to another world. More like an opera, more abstract, more a sensorial experience. Because the truth of the beginning of this film was experience I had, like I would call it like cinematographic ecstasy experience in mid-80s, San Sebastian Film Festival. They screened Greed from Stroheim with Carl Davis music and live orchestra. I was 22, 23, and somehow I was like, I was almost catatonic, I think. It was like the Stendhal syndrome. I felt things I had never felt before watching a movie. So from that moment, I said, one day I want to make a silent film, and I want to release it with a live orchestra, which we are going to do, actually, in Spain. Yeah. So in Spain, we're going to have a theatrical release. But there, we're going to do two big events in the biggest theaters in Spain with a live orchestra, with the director as the musician, and the singer is going to be there, so we're very excited about it. So, to make this story short, it was 8 years of hell, no straight line, full of obstacles, but we made it. And I have to thank the producers because they believe in me, and we went all the way to make this crazy, crazy project, but...
It's beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's wonderful. So, do we have some questions for the audience for Pablo? Yeah, over there, go ahead.
So when the artist came out, were you upset?
That's a good question. I'm ready for that one. Well, we were about 1 week to shoot the film when a friend of mine, and maybe he's here, he said, big Spanish producer, Simon de Santiago, he has a couple of films here. He sent me an SMS after the screening of The Artist. I had no idea about another film, black and white. Who's gonna make a black and white silent film? Big budget, with big stars and main industry. This is a commercial film. It's an art house commercial film, but it's a big budget film. And suddenly he says, I've just seen this amazing French film. I think it's gonna be good for you. But he was like, maybe you get upset. Okay. I was in my office, probably it was late at night, and I was getting ready. 1 week later, I was shooting. So I think I got another Stendhal syndrome. I don't know what happened. I got really, really nervous, and I got an anxiety attack. I started Googling around and going everywhere to see what they were saying. And, you know, as I said before, my wife is Japanese, and she's more calm. They have a different philosophy, and, you know. She said, everything happens for the best. That's like a favorite sentence. And it's true. Everything happens for the best. I think commercially, The Artist has broken prejudice against black and white silent film. You know, it has proved that a black and white silent film can be a commercial film. It's not a question of how it's made. It's just about the film itself. I think The Artist is a good film, and people connected with the story. So you know, there's a space for another black and white film, and I'm happy that, you know, the artist was a big success. Thank God, if it would have been a disaster, can you imagine?
Question right here, go ahead.
The editing was phenomenal, like lots of cuts and lots of great rhythm. How much of that did you plan in the, you know, pre-production, the shot lists and the shots versus in the editing after?
Okay, I agree 100%, I think it's phenomenal. I think he, Fernando did an amazing job. The thing is that one of my favorite, if not my favorite filmmaker is Abel Gance, or Abel Gance, I don't know how you pronounce it. And the way he, in some scenes in his films, the editing is absolutely stunning. He produces those really quick shortcuts, like a machine gun, da, da, da. And of course, we storyboarded the whole film. I'm serious, this is like this, the storyboard, like a phone book. And you couldn't have every single cut, but from the beginning, the director of photography and I, we worked in my previous film. So I know how he is. I know the good things and the bad things. He knows about me the same way. We're like a couple. So I said to him, we knew that, I said like, this is gonna be hell. Because this movie we shot in 7 weeks. I don't know if you work in film, 7 weeks is nothing. Any normal film gets shot in 7 weeks. And we both said, okay, this movie, we need shots, so we have to go quick. So we came up with, I think, a good solution. It was like, instead of shooting 35, we shot 16, super 16. And instead of having one camera, we had two, and two complete crews. And because the director of photography, Kiko de la Rica, he's very quick and very good. So we said, he's not the type of director of photography that he's just like, waiting for the time, which is great if you can do it. But when you have 7 weeks, you cannot wait for the magic hour. You just have to be shooting nonstop. We were doing like 150 shots a day. So I didn't know exactly, but I knew in many places that I wanted machine gun cutting. And we call it, in Spanish, we created a name, my editor and me, it was called Gansadas. We said, let's make a Gansada, haz una Gansada. No más, más, más. So it was planned, but we couldn't know exactly. We just kind of like felt things. We wanted people to get a little electroshock, because I think silent cinema in the 20s, in terms of film language, it got to a level how advanced it was. We just kind of went back. I'm sure there's a lot of film lovers here, and I know in Toronto there's a great silent film festival. You know, Victor Sjöström, Fader, Abel Gance, Dreyer, Murnau. I don't know, there's like amazing filmmakers that were doing great things. And then when the sound came, it was like the camera got stuck. And people were talking. And when I think the moving film is moving pictures, it's images, it's visual storytelling. And that's why I wanted to make this film. I wanted to film in visual.
Lots more questions. I'll take one up front and I'll get to you next.
I know that nowadays music is almost the last thing to go into a film, but the music was so wonderful in this. When did you start working with the composer, and you know, did he influence the story as it was told?
Right. So he's asking about the music in the film and the work with the composer, but he'll explain.
It was wonderful, by the way. The movie is wonderful and the music is wonderful.
The thing is that when we were shooting, I was going to work with one composer, and just a couple of weeks before I started editing, I had to change. Well, there was a problem that I had to start working with a new composer. I had to find in 1 week a new composer. So I called Isabel Coixet, maybe some of you, a friend of mine, the film director, and I said, I need a composer. So I created this whole film where music is so important, and the composer I was supposed to work with, we are not going to work together. So he said, my composer, Alfonso de Villayonga, is the best. So I met with him and I told him, you have 4 months to create this opera. So when we start editing, we just have to edit, and we decided with my editor not to use temp music. Many times editors use temp music. I said, let's just do it raw, no music. We are going to create the rhythms with the editing.
So we edited Simon, and he only got involved in the when the movie was picture lock.
Okay.
But what we did is like, we work the scenes in this film, the way I write, that's the way I write my films, they're short scenes. It's almost like 1 minute, 1 minute and a half, 40 seconds, 1 minute 20. So it almost has a rhythm in the way I write scripts. So every 1 minute, or every one scene, he will send me.
Yes, because there were beautiful different
things. And then we just work on that minute and say, no, just a little shorter, a little longer, just make a change. No, I need it to come down, just less, more. We got, because I don't come from music world. I just have to talk like I'm more talking with an actor. That's the way I talk with him. So it was just like very delicate. We call it the style. I call it the café con leche.
Coffee with milk.
Yeah, like we needed the music and the images had to be integrated perfectly. They had to be sewn together. Just like, because I have a gigantic collection of silent cinema with music, like I'm sure many here. And sometimes the music goes like, and the images go like, and it's just, I go crazy. So I really said, like, we just have to dance together. So, but we work very delicate and very carefully, but it was afterwards.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, it is very meticulous. Also, you were mentioning about the flamenco.
Yeah.
How that you incorporated that. Yeah.
The thing is that everything happens for the best. That's my message for today. I feel like I'm not a religious fanatic, but I just wanted, I'm not a motivational speaker, but yes. I should change careers after Toronto. But the truth is that the composer, but everybody that got involved in this film, when they read the script, they all said the same thing. Eh? Oh, I love it. I want to do it. This is great. How? This is crazy. I'm scared. And they were like first-rate crew. I'm talking the top-notch crew in Spain. They were freaking out. So the composer, when he had 4 months to do this, he was like, I want to do it. This is great. He had like moment that I think had like a Barton Fink moment. He was like, what, how do I do this? This is, I always, all my life, I wanted to do a silent film, but now I have a silent film, and how do I start? So in that moment of crisis, I thought that maybe if I made a big block of flamenco, and guitar, and claps, it would take him away a lot of the work, and it was true. So that's how like all this guitar, and the flamenco, and claps, and we got a great composer, a great guitarist, and a great singer that I was supervising. It was not like, it was not the music from him, it was like the music. I even did the lyrics of, so you know a little bit of, understand this. I'm from the Basque country, I'm from Bilbao, okay? Spain is, you know, a very square country, and this Seville is in the south, Bilbao is on the top, and Bilbao is like today. I grew up in great days, it was raining, that's why I spent all my life in the movies, so. And suddenly I'm doing flamenco, I'm both fighting, you know. I feel like Mamoulian when he made Blood, Sangre y Arena, in English, Blood and Sand.
Blood and Sand.
So I had, I was doing like some kind of Basque Hollywood, and the producer from Catalonia where they just forbid bullfighting, so. I don't know. I'm just bubbling, but just to give you some kind of ideas over the process.
Yeah, we have a question right here. Go ahead.
Can you explain the choice you made at the end of the film? Her friend, the dwarf bullfighter, loved her. He kissed her. She could have woken up, and you decided not to have her wake up, not to have that happy ending. Why did you make that choice?
Well, I love silent cinema and 70s movies. Okay. So I wanted to give it an open end. I give it to the audience. To decide what happens in the end, you know, we don't know what happens. You know, everybody can say she will wake up. She's just like in Spain, we have these virgins that they cry once a year, like a tear. You know, like who knows? But I don't know. I really don't know what happens. I want to be a little deep.
I'll get to you next. Go ahead.
Yeah. Does she have
Oh, yeah, yeah, she has, she wants to keep everything. The thing is that she wants that Monte Olvido, that big cortijo, that castle. She, if, you know, if the moment she's alive, she can just, you know, the moment that Antonio Villalta dies, in the heritage, he will have to share with her, that huge castle. So, and that's part. And also, definitely, she's, when she sees also, like, the cover of the magazine, and that big article, when they promise her the cover, and she has like this tiny article. That's the, she says, okay, now I have to go after her, too. No, but definitely, no, if you read the story, the tale, it's just 3 pages. It truly is 3 pages. And there's so many versions. Even the Grimms, we say the Grimms, and even we all say it's Snow White from the Grimm brothers. The Grimm brothers, they just write it down. This is like an oral story that we don't even know when it started, the Snow White. So I just got inspired. I just wanted to keep just that, those iconic characters and just do some new version of it.
Thank you. I was going to get to you next. Yeah, go ahead.
What does it mean for the bull to be pardoned?
Oh, yeah, what does it mean for the bull to be pardoned?
It happens. It rarely happens. No, but it happens. Let's say one out of, you know, like 2% or 3%, it happens. When a bull in a bullfighting is a great bull, because at the end, it's funny because I'm not like a fanatic of bullfighting. But I met a lot of bullfighters in the process, and we had a lot of advisors here. And we just related so much, like what a matador is and a director. It sounds great. <Yeah. laughs> It's a great comparison. I'm a matador. So, what was your question?
What does it mean for the bull to be pardoned? Because it's an interesting question, and like also
yes,
why
yes,
you
yes.
chose
now,
to
now,
pardon
now.
The bull.
I got it. It was
yeah.
I still have the jet. Like okay.
So,
so the thing is, like in cinema, in bullfighting, the most important thing is the bull, and in the cinema is the script. So it's, if you have a good script, you make a great film, and you have a great bull, and you're a professional bullfighter, you have a great night, a great day. So when in a bullfighting you have a great bull, you pardon. And in cinema, when you have a great script, very successful, you make the second part. You know.
So is that why you chose to pardon the bull?
No,
no
it was,
no.
I don't.
That was an interesting choice.
Well, the way I write, although I went to film school, and I have Sid Field, and I have Mackie, and I have Linda Sekas, I have all of them. Mm. When I write, I get a little bit in that kind of Linda Blair, like vomiting. I'm writing. I don't even know what I write. So it came out from the first step. And then I gave it some order, of course, you know. Red rum.
We have time for one last question. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah. I was going to follow up to that about how you actually shot the scenes with the bullfighting. Like, did you have an actual bull there? Was it CGI? What were you doing for
that? Yeah, how was that?
It was scary.
Yeah.
It was scary, you know. But it was scary for everybody because for the producers, the budget went like, because one bull, it cost like 5,000, and we had, I don't know, a dozen of bulls because you have to create one that it looks like the same bull, but they're all different. You need to have this huge structure of people. Legally, you need to have the veterinarian that no animals being there, the hospital, yeah, an ambulance, the doctors, the police. So there's a whole, it's a very expensive, and a bull ring is very expensive to hire. So it was really a combination of everything. We had doubles, like a lot of doubles for the little bulls, for the big bulls, for the girl. We had a lot of CGI. So this film, shouldn't say this, I don't like to say this kind of thing, but this film has 500, I think over 550 or 570 shots that have some kind of digital manipulation. But the whole point is that when you see the film, you just don't see it. But definitely, we had to.
Thank you so much, Pablo,
thank
for
you
being
for
with
you.
Us.
Thank you.
All of you.
Thank you very much.